And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's Monday, July 19th. This is another No Dunks Classic on the Athletic Network. I'm J.E. Skeets. That's the homie, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
Got my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max on his credit card, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Finally, the man making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream teamers joining us live right now on YouTube. Please take a second to like this video and later comment to help us defeat the algorithm under the video. And if you haven't already, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Keep your NBA and your non-NBA questions coming all week long. Email them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Before we get to the emails, just a reminder, yesterday, on a Sunday, we recorded and posted our NBA Finals Game 5 recap podcast. It's up on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, so go check that out if you haven't already. We discussed, obviously, Game 5 between the Bucks and the Suns, the big three from Milwaukee stepping up, what's wrong with Chris Paul. Then we got into the whole Damian Lillard situation in Portland. We talked a little Team USA, so go check that. It's up again wherever you listen or watch No Dunks. And Lee, I joked about the credit card. You're back in Copenhagen. You're done with Legoland, but you said you spent some money on the bricks, did you?
Yeah, the credit card's on life support right now. Look, it was a great weekend. Easily top five weekend of my life without question. But
wow. Count them down, buddy!
Well, I mean, I could go even probably more subtle than that and say it was probably a top Saturday and Sunday, probably top 5 days of my life. I'd say getting married and becoming a father twice are up there.
Yep.
These 2 days are probably right in there behind it. I mean, just
Legoland is that good.
The recency bias you're talking
about. Look, there's maybe a little bit of that in there, Tassie. But look, to be honest, you know, as a parent, you know, you're always questioning yourself. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? You know, am I really growing healthy, you know, stable, normal kids? And you never really know the answer. But when you see your kids just, and you've hyped up Legoland, and you see them just devour everything and enjoy it and just want more and more.
That's dangerous. And more. They shouldn't be eating the bricks. No. What are you doing?
That's like rule number one of Lego.
Yeah.
But they had so much fun and they were so happy. And, you know, they were up first thing in the morning because the sun barely goes down right now here in Denmark. And they were out late at night. And it was just such a rewarding experience for our family. And, you know, financially, I'm going to turn a blind eye to that right now.
That's all right. We can sell some more Magic Spoon if we got it. That's not a problem.
Yeah. But really good fun. And then this morning, so every day within the hotel, basically there's just these there's buckets of bricks and you can just build it and you put up your little, you know, your display up and they pick
your
a
creation.
Winner. Yeah, creation.
Oh,
creation.
Okay.
And they pick a winner. And the first two nights, both our kids put up a creation each day and they sort of came out in the morning and were like, yeah, you know, nothing. I'm saying, boys, don't worry about it. It's just as long as you're having fun, you've been creative. It's not about winning or losing. You know, this morning, Sebastian, 9-year-old Sebastian,
yep.
There's a certificate, the winner of the creation. Yeah, he won this morning. Oh, my God. He was so happy. He
wow.
won
another. What did he build?
He built like this house with like the background of the city behind it. My wife might have a photo of it, actually. I don't have one. But when we came out this morning, we were sort of going for breakfast. We're about to check out. And they said, oh, you're Sebastian's family, aren't you? I said, yeah. Here's the certificate. Oh, my God.
Wow.
What a moment. What a moment it was. So, you know, all that stuff I said, it's not about winning or losing. Get that out of there. It's all about that winning, getting that big trophy. So,
ask any builder, any real builder. It's not whether you build an inch or you build a mile. Winning's winning.
Oh, there it is.
Sounds like the price of the bricks going up with all this Lego promo, Lee. You talk about a top 5 days of all time. Sebastian's got a number one right now, I think.
Oh, yes, he has. He has. Oscar, not so much. There was that little mixed emotion there from the four-year-old of joy for his brother, but also not getting the certificate, not getting the prize, not getting all that sort of celebration that Sebastian got. So he was a little up and down emotionally this morning, but we said, listen, you helped, you contributed, you can play with the toy. The certificate just doesn't have your name on it. That's the only part of it that's missing. So.
Let me ask this. You said it was the final day you're there. Do you think they do this on purpose, those slick buggers at Legoland? Oh, well, we'll just wait until the last day, give them get the certificate. That'll bring them back. The young one will want one. They'll be back.
Yeah,
we'll get that credit card back in our hands.
I'm trying to not think about that part of it, but it's possible. It is possible.
No, he's very creative. You know what? Without actually having seen what he built, he should have won the other days too. I'm going to write a strongly worded email to Legoland there in Denmark. That's awesome. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Well, you know what? I know you hate when I do this, Skeetsy, but let me just quickly upload the photo here because I have.
I'm sort of interested.
Yeah, we got to see this building.
Well.
I'm going to judge it. I want you to know that in advance here.
Yeah, sorry. I have to say though, it's the prize photo. Like it's the.
It's not the actual
one. Now again, my wife, because she's taking the boys out while we do the show here, so I don't actually have the photo, and she may not even have one. I'm not sure, but is this going to work?
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's not looking like it. It's not looking like
it. just have Seb build a certificate out of Lego and we can put it up at some point.
Come on. What's wrong with you, StreamYard? Get it together.
It's StreamYard. I'm sure it is. All right. Well,
it's there, but it's not there anyway.
While Lee looks for this photo that may or may not exist, let's get into the quest. Well, actually, hold on. So where are you now? Are you done? Are you coming home? Like,
No. We're barely halfway right now. We're back in Copenhagen and we're moving to Berlin on the weekend. So,
Jesus Christ.
while you're here, you may as well enjoy it while you can.
I honestly wish I could be mad at you, but your Wi-Fi's never been better when you're across the world.
No, that's the thing I've been saying to my wife. It's like, I can't believe how good everything's worked so far from the internet standpoint. So maybe I have to move over here full time. Doesn't really matter, does it, you know?
Yeah. Or upgrade your Wi-Fi at home. That's the other option.
Nope.
That might actually be a cheaper option, mate.
That's no fun.
All right. Let's get to the questions because we got another great batch here to ask.
Here we go. Hello, No Dinkers and Dumpers. Been a follower and fan of yours since the days of Gravis Dad's Quest, Grandma Lana, and the delicious Matty O. Jeremy Linchick. The sincere friendship between you guys combined with good hoopstock is what has kept me, and I'm sure many others, as fans for so long. Thank you. Anyways, I see and hear a decent amount of Shaq comparisons to Giannis, which makes sense. But to me, the much more accurate comparison of Giannis is to Wilt Chamberlain. If you watch highlights of young Wilt, shout out to Wilt Chamberlain Archive on YouTube, he is much closer to Giannis in stature than Shaq. Wilt became more like Shaq in that dominant low post style of play later in his career. Young Wilt dominated with incredible speed in the open court and elite length, strength, and touch around the basket just like the Freak. If you plopped young Wilt exactly as he was into today's game, I think he would dominate in much the same way Giannis is now. What do you guys think? Love you, No Dunkers. TBJ in my heart forever. That's from Richard Spidel in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, you know, this pops up every once in a while. You see the comparisons, of course, is Giannis Shaq, and then you get this one too. And then you get the question of, like, if you put Wilt Chamberlain in today's game, would he still be doing like 40 and 40s, you know, and all of that? Would he dominate? Now, I don't think he'd be doing that. Like, pace was crazy back then. You know, some of the competition he was playing against, there are more athletic guys, at least in today's game, but he'd still be, like the email is saying here from Richard, like, I think he would still be amazing. He'd probably be an MVP type candidate. He'd be an all-star and all that, all NBA, because he's built. Wilt was like 7'1", 275, and he was a track star. Like, he could run the 100 in less than 11 seconds. Reportedly had, like, some people say, like, a 48-inch vertical. I'm not buying that, but let's call it whatever. It's a 40-inch vertical even. Like, unbelievable for a guy his size. You could apparently bench 500 pounds, too. So, yeah, just on sheer athleticism, he would still be amazing in today's game. Incredible. I don't see how he couldn't. So, yeah, the Giannis comparisons, sure. They're fast and they're long and they're, you know, these athletic freaks in a sport that's dominated, littered with them. They stand out above them. So I think there's something there, Lili.
Yeah, there is. I mean, look, anyone who, he averaged beef for his career, this guy. So, he might not average quite that level in today's game because obviously there are just so many changes in the game and improvements right. And developments and things like that. But yeah, people are always sort of looking for that comparison of like, well, this guy, he wouldn't have been able to survive in this era or that era. But yeah, some the truly greats would have been able to be awesome no matter what. But simply because of the way the game is played today, I don't think you're going to have a guy out there averaging 50 and 20. I just don't see that how that can happen. But also, you know, when you talk about Wilt, you have to talk about Bill Russell. And there's also some really good footage of Bill Russell, you know, 6'11", running basically from one end of the court to the other, unstoppable. Sure. And I think that's also like Giannis, you know, super incredible athletes, no matter what era you're in, would be a great fit for, you know, most sports if you're that good at it. So, you know, exactly how his game would be. I mean, look, he wasn't, from what I remember and know, is, you know, he didn't have much of a sort of a long range jump shot to his game because he didn't need to. He was more like Shaq in that he would stay into the post. So, you know, how would that be different in today's game? Would he step out and hit a three? We know that he led the league in assists one year just to show people he could do it. So he was motivated to prove he could do things that people said he couldn't do. So I guess that part of his game would be different. But I think if you're one of the top 5 to 10, top 50 of all time, it doesn't really matter what era you're playing in. You'd still be considered in that conversation, I think.
Trey, as a big guy, how do you feel about this question or comparisons that Giannis gets to Shaq and to Wilt and all that and Bill Russell? Sure.
First question for me is, which kind of shoes is Wilt Chamberlain going to be wearing? 1960s shoes or 2020 shoes? Because I think he's getting injured if he's playing in Converse. Chuck Taylor's trying to run as fast as he possibly can. But I mean, the numbers, Skeets, like you mentioned, read through Wikipedia and it sounds honestly ridiculous. In high school, he ran a 440. They guess they ran 440 meters back then. He did it in 49 seconds. The current world record for the 400 is 43 seconds. And this was literally 60 years ago. They say Wilt Chamberlain could dunk from the free throw line without a running start. How is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, see, like some of this, right? It's a little Paul Bunyan, I'm sure.
It's a little Paul Bunyan, and apparently he could lift any human alive with just one hand back in the day. But yeah, obviously Wilt Chamberlain would dominate in today's game much the same way Giannis did, because Shaq dominated in his day the way Wilt Chamberlain did. They're the three same guys. It's like the biggest, strongest guy who also happens to be the fastest, big, strong guy out there. Mm-hmm. That's a good recipe for success in the NBA, no matter when you're playing.
Yeah, it's a good point by Richard. No doubt the Wilt comparison. I think if he was listening closely to the show, I think he'd hear that people are saying the modern day Shaq, because, yeah, nobody plays in the post like Shaq does, and you have to get around guys. And I think that Giannis fits that. Like, he is not banging anybody down low. He is the modern day Shaq because of how the game has changed. I found this question interesting because it makes me start to think about how Giannis is going to age into his 30s. Like, is he going to be more of a back to the basket guy if his athleticism goes? I don't think so. Like, is he going to mix, you know, driving and hanging out on the perimeter? Is he going to get a better shot? Where is he going to go with this? I think his athleticism isn't going to go anywhere for a long time. I think it's kind of nuts to think that he's still not in his prime, where you have not seen the best of Giannis. He's got, you know, a couple of years to get there. So I'm not sure he'll ever be a back to the basket type of guy. I don't think you need him to be. I think his athleticism will carry him till he's like 35, which is a freaking long time from now. So he's got lots. He'll be dancing around guys for a long time. He's unstoppable because of his legs.
Because of his legs, but I also wonder, like, how big is Giannis going to get? right? You look at the Wilt Chamberlain listings. He came into the league at 250. He left the league at 300. Yeah. Shaq, we know, came in skinny as well, and he was like 350 at his biggest. Giannis came in super skinny. He was still growing height-wise when he came into the NBA, and now he's one of the most shredded, jacked guys in the entire league. Give him another 6 years of weight training? Is Giannis going to be close to 300 pounds of pure muscle at some point? Good luck guarding him.
Yeah. And just back to the Wilt thing, like the word, it's the word dominate where people say, would he dominate in today's game? And so some people take dominate and go, well, no, he's not going to average 50 and 25. So he's not going to dominate at the level he did in the 60s. But to me, if he was averaging 30 and 15, like Giannis-like numbers, that's dominating because that's an MVP-like guy. So in today's era, that's still dominating. But I see also people say, well, Wilt Chamberlain would be Dwight Howard if he played in over the last 10 or 15 years. And they say that sort of like it's a bad thing, yeah. I guess. Like, well, he's probably going to be named to like one of the greatest players of all time when we name our top 75. He's like a surefire Hall of Famer. Is that bad? I mean, I still think he'd be better, by the way, I think, without really knowing, because it's like impossible. We're like talking about era to era here. But like, it's such a funny like diss. Oh, yeah, that guy would be like only one of the greatest players of all time. You're like, what? Okay, so yeah. He would be good. He would be fantastic. And again, I think Wilt would be better than Dwight, but it's just a silly comparison to me.
I know Wilt would be awesome on social media. I think he would.
Well, right.
He'd be great on Instagram, not only for the fashion, but I think he'd be a bit like Joel Embiid as well. After he's dunking on dudes, he'd be he'd love to be trash talking on that sort of stuff. Don't know if he'd be as big on Twitter. I think he was more a visual man, Wilt. You know, he'd like to his pregame fits, his postgame fits. He'd be looking pretty fly, and he'd like to get his jabs in when he can, because you know he would be catching bodies left and right out there. So yeah, that's one thing I know for sure. No matter what, that Wilt would be awesome on that part of the game.
Sure, I was. There are some incredible Wilt Chamberlain photos. Like I fell down a Getty Images rabbit hole today just looking at Wilt Chamberlain pics again from like the 60s and 70s. Because there's like the basketball photos that look amazing, especially like iconic, like Kareem versus him or Russell versus him. But like, there's all these weird photos of him just like lying on beds, lounging by the pool, and just you know, he played for the Harlem Globetrotters for crying out loud. Like, there's all these just like really weird and funny, crazy pics. So I'll have to share those sometime here on the show. Good start.
Hey, Skeets, you want me to find a picture on the internet and slowly upload it to our streaming platform?
No, see, that's what I did. I said, we'll just show you in the future. It's a totally fine thing to say, Lee, instead of just stopping the show for a good 5 minutes.
I like to live on the edge, though, you know?
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. All right, our next question here. Hi, No Dunks Amigos. I'm surprised a bigger deal hasn't been made about the NBA switching to a new ball next year. Will we see guys struggle to adjust, a la the FIBA ball? Will we see shooting percentages increase if the new Wilsons are a bit softer and get friendlier rim bounces? Shout out to Wilson Evolution Balls. Are guys already practicing with the new ball this offseason? Or am I the only one who thinks this is a big deal? Keep on keeping on. That's from Brian. Lee, what do you think? Are we not making a big enough deal about the new ball coming into play next season?
Just before I get to that, Skeety, I've got something here for you. There he is. There's the winner this morning with his certificate and his Lego creation. And just before I move on from that quickly, one other really good thing about Legoland, look at the size of the popcorn they serve there. That's a proper size of popcorn. That's all you need. You don't need the rest of it. So I took a photo of that the other day there.
You look insane there.
Yeah, it was a windy day that day, mate.
Yeah. Hot and windy. And that was also at about 5:30 in the afternoon. And I was just like, all right, give me some of that popcorn. Look at my hand. It's barely bigger than my hand. That's how popcorn should be served.
No, you have huge hands, man. You go palm a popcorn.
Look like Giannis.
Yeah.
Okay, but as far as you
could... Oh, hold on, Lee. Before you answer, here's a picture of Wilt Chamberlain in the bed. Yeah, there it is.
It's a nice photo. That's a great photo. But as far
here,
as...
before you answer here, here's Cam Stewart looking like Lee Ellis holding a bucket of popcorn.
But I am very interested to see how this goes with the changing of the ball from the Spalding to the Wilson. Because, look, the Wilson, I think, is closer to the Spalding ball than that synthetic ball we had in 2006, the league adopted that. And that was supposed to be the new ball. But everyone hated it and trashed it so much that the NBA actually went back just, I think, around the All-Star break, I think it was, where they said, all right, there's too many people upset, and they went back to the original ball. But Spalding has been the league ball since 1983, and it is going to be different. Now, it's hard to explain how it's going to be different, but a Wilson ball just does feel different from a Spalding ball. It just does. I mean, it, to me, a little bit tougher, the leather, a little bit heavier, but of course that's, you know, from a brand new ball. Like, when you sort of break them in, it's probably a little bit closer. But I think it is going to change things, because it is like these balls I use in FIBA. They're just different balls. It's the same size, it's the same weight, it's the same shape, of course, but it's a slightly different material, and it does take a little bit of getting used to. And this is the big difference, though. You know, because the players made such a big deal about it back in 2006, that was still a Spalding ball. So they were able to sort of just go back to the old balls. But this is a brand new contract with Wilson. So it's not like I can really see the NBA saying, all right, sorry, scrap that contract with Wilson and we're going back to Spalding here if they don't like it.
No, that's not happening. Like, they're going to have to play and like these balls. Yeah.
And, I wonder if they get some summer reps, because it's available July 29th. So 10 days from now, as soon as the NBA is done with this season, Wilson's got the ball contract.
Yeah.
So I'm sure everybody will be touching it pretty, pretty soon. I mean, we got to get it on this show. We got to make a video. Got to get the feel. Got it. Because
I think that was a question I had too, and according to Zach Koval here in the stream team, Chris Brickley, one of those NBA trainers, has guys training with the new Wilson ball. Absolutely smart, because that was the main problem with the orange roundy back in the day, right? Was that they just sprung it on him. They're like, hey, we got a new ball, and it slices up your fingers. My question is, how is Wilson going to possibly live up to the legacy that Spalding is leaving behind with the finest wedgie record of all time?
Well, if these balls are softer...
Exactly. They got to really step it up. And I saw Sam Unono was asking in the stream team as well. They got Spalding rims in the NBA. Will those be changed as well? Doesn't Wilson go into a Spalding rim smoothly? That's a question to be answered. But surely this is going to be a big story once there are complaints, because there will be complaints. Anytime you change something, people are going to complain. And as soon as that becomes the case, then it will be a story. But I'm with Brian here. People are still surprised that there's going to be a new ball in the NBA. I'm seeing in the stream team, people are like, what? There's a new ball next year? That's how under the radar this thing is.
In college, they use Wilson, don't they?
I think so. I think they switch
it like anybody. Like, different teams have different balls or different conferences. Right. Who knows?
Yeah. So, you know, from, you know, a lot of the players who come through college have, you know, play with it for some point of their career, but... It's a big change, I think. Even though it's a small change, it's just a big change, because it just feels different. And you know that, you know, someone who is a good shooter, if they have a bad season next season, it's like, it's the ball. It's not me.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Imagine like Steph Curry suddenly couldn't hit a three or something like that. He's just a Spalding man.
Yeah.
Can't do it with the Wilson. Do you think Tom Hanks will be the first guy to like ceremonial tip it up?
Yeah, I wonder if he will be involved in some way. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
You think Tom Hanks is going to be involved in the NBA?
No, I'm just saying, like, at some point it'd be like, you know.
I was kidding, but you don't seem to be.
Yeah, maybe they will. I mean, you know.
Okay, which announcer will scream Wilson first at the right time? I don't know what
it would be. Iron Eagle.
Okay.
Mark me down for an Iron Eagle on a wedgie. Wilson!
That's good. That's really good. I hope we see that.
They're going to bring somebody back from the inaugural season. Because Wilson was the first ball of the, even before the NBA, when it was called the BAA, when the Knicks were playing the Huskies, the Toronto Huskies in Maple Leaf Gardens in 1946, Wilson was the ball. I was looking to see if the person who scored the first basket is still alive. Ozzie Schechtman, unfortunately, lived a long life. He went till he was 94, but he died in 2013. He was the first basket ever. He scored with the Wilson, the first basket ever in the BAA. Huskies Knicks playing for the old Knicks in Maple Leaf Gardens. But they'll get somebody from back then. We're going back to our roots here. Yeah, we'll get a Naismith out there for sure.
Give me the family tree.
Exactly.
Do you prefer a Wilson or a Spalding, Trey?
I'm a Wilson man. It's always been a softer, grippier ball for me. I think it's good for putting spin on the glass, throwing bounce passes. Spalding ball, I don't know, a fresh Spalding, I feel like, is a straight up Chris Brickley. Those things are rough on the fingies.
You gotta work them in for sure. Have you ever played, Lee, with, I assume you have, right? The molten ball, the FIBA ball that we see in the Olympics?
I think at tournaments and stuff like that, we've had them. you know, I can't think of a specific time, but definitely it just because as well, sometimes the leather, you know, between the seams, they feel bulkier on those ones for sure, I think. And even when you watch the game, I think you just sort of start, you know, again, through the Olympics, you look at it and you're just like, it just looks different. The ball's, I'm just following the ball around here to see what it's going to do. It just, you know, and I mean, you look at Kevin Durant's shot the other day and it's sort of like, I wonder how it feels for him. You know, a beautiful shooter of the basketball like him. I mean, you know, just it's just different.
That's the funny part to me. It's like, we're making a big deal out of this. Does Kevin Durant give a shit? Is he just like, well, I don't care, it's going to go in. Give it to me.
Yeah,
I'm
but see, shoot it. That
or is he like so meticulous because this is what he does for a living and has taken over millions of shots in his life?
Yeah, I mean, but I think when you go into a tournament like the World Cup or the Olympics, you know it's going to be different. Whereas, you know, the Spalding ball's always been there throughout his career. Now it's not going to be there at all. So, you know, it's just a little quirky little difference that you have to iron out, I guess, to learn it.
Ugh. Can't wait. Can't wait to see the impact. We're going to have like Schumann breaking down the shooting numbers in the first week of next season.
Absolutely we are.
Comparing it to this season and where we stand with this new ball. And the wedgie question is fascinating, TK. It's a great point. If it's softer, in theory, if it's stickier, you know, it's got that vibe to it.
Sure.
We're going to have some more wedgies. Tass, like this record of 58 we're currently at, of course, still have one or two games left in the finals. It's been a while without a wedgie. I think the last one was Trae Young with a floater, right?
Wow. It's been a long time.
It'd be nice to get a finals wedgie to really cap this season. But anyway, we'll see if we'll see how long 58 or whatever it ends up being this season stands. Maybe this new Wilson ball will give us that first 60-plus. Ooh, wouldn't it be nice?
Are asking in the stream team, Skeets, that ball you've got on your shelf that you've had there for a little bit, is that a Wilson or is that a Spalding? Because I know you haven't unboxed
remember.
It.
Yeah.
You haven't unboxed it. And if it's a Spalding, at this point, you might want to keep that thing in there.
Well, I did unbox it. I didn't have it on social media. Yeah. I had to...
put it back in.
I had
put
to
it back
shoot
in. Open it up
no,
again.
No, you know when I unboxed it? I unboxed it when we went to play like a couple weeks ago.
Hey!
To shoot around. And I actually took it to the court in the box and then just threw the cardboard in the garbage right by you there. You didn't even... I think it was right before you showed up. I can't remember what it was. I think it's a Wilson. I don't know what Costco is selling these days. Mm. I have a feeling it was a Wilson. Really great price at Costco, guys. $19.99, I believe it was. Really legit, good indoor-outdoor game ball.
Think the NBA's got a deal with Costco. They go and get all their balls at bulk, so they're a little bit cheaper.
Probably.
Nice.
Probably. It came with two loaves of bread. And a patio set that I also picked up at Costco. All right, well, we'll see the impact of this.
Yeah,
of this.
We all have to take photos like Nuggets broadcaster Katie Wingy did with the with the Spalding ball, saying goodbye, Spalding. Everybody asking, what the heck are you talking about, Katie Wingy? Are you going somewhere? Obviously, you know, people just don't realize that the ball is changing. I mean, I forgot about it for a while as well, for sure. But it's also going to be the official ball of the WNBA. Next season.
Wilson is. Okay. Oh man, you just made me think if we were still doing In Memoriam, Spalding would have been in there. That would have been nice to include in the jokey In Memoriam we always do at the end of the year.
We could still do it, man.
Yeah, I guess we could still do it.
It's true. Season's not over quite yet.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point. And nor is this podcast. We got a lot of questions still to get to, but let's take our first break. What do you got, Lily?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So I lied It wasn't a Wilson from Costco. Well, you guys were doing your ad reads. Went and checked behind me there in the closet. It is a Spalding. Silver Series.
Cool.
What does that mean? I don't know. Adam Silver, I guess. But yeah, good ball, though. Sad to see it go. Collector's item now, though. That's nice. Right. Yeah, for sure. Dirty already. Look at that. Doesn't take long to get it
That's
dirty.
That's what you want.
Yeah. That looks well-loved.
Yeah, exactly.
Me. Great patina on there.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you say that because I've played with it like three times, if that. So, yeah. Spalding, man. Costco. There you go. That was the deal. So now we just find out if Costco re-ups with Wilson for those good deals. Okay. What do we got next, T? Yeah.
Well, guys, I just watched Space Jam 2. So my question is, when was there a time you wasted 2 hours of your life you wish you could have had back? Wow, Stephen B. I wonder how old you are. Was this movie for you? Was it geared towards you? Can't wait to find out. Turn up, love you guys, awesome. Stephen B. sending in the hate Space Jam mail.
Yeah, Space Jam 2. Getting killed there on social media, which you're right, Tass. Not really surprised when you consider it's a bunch of, I'm guessing, 20, 30, 40-year-olds talking about a movie that's definitely not made for them.
It was also number one in the box office.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's doing okay. I think people are actually downloading it at home and going to watch it in theaters where you can. We're going to do a film session on it, for sure. We did Space Jam 1, last summer, maybe? Is that right?
Yeah, it would have been.
So why not? We'll do a Space Jam 2 review. Have you guys seen it yet?
Mm-hmm. I have seen it.
Okay. Yeah, Lee, you did. Okay.
Yeah,
you
know, saw it on the train today, coming back from Legoland. So,
and you watched it with the boys?
With the boys, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to give it away, but wonderful viewing experience. I'll say that much.
All right. Interesting. Can't wait. Yeah, we'll do a film session for Space Jam 2 in the upcoming weeks. But yes, Stephen B. did not like it. To answer his question, though, a time when you wasted a couple hours of your life that you wish you had back, I think I struggle a little bit with this, but then it came to me. When we moved here to Atlanta from Canada in, what was it? 2013.
Yeah.
So we're looking at about 8 years ago. One thing that really pissed me off for some reason is that I can't remember if it was the same for you guys. Definitely not Trey, but Lee and Tass, let me know, and JD. I had to go and retake my driver's test. And I never could understand why. I'm like, what do you mean? I have a driver's license in Canada. It's pretty similar, guys, up there, how we drive up there to how you're driving down here in Georgia. But they're like, no, you got to take the dumb online test. Okay, whatever. If it was that, sure, that takes like 5 minutes. But no, you got to book an appointment and actually get out there on the road with someone that's going to probably be younger than you. And they're going to judge how you drive. That just was, the test itself didn't take 2 hours, but the whole thing, you know, getting there and, of course, planning it and all that, and then doing it was just like, it was ridiculous. Did you have to do it, Tass? Did you actually have to? Yeah, you did. Why? It doesn't make any sense, except just take more of your money. And they're like, yeah, charge you for it. That's just ridiculous to me. But the whole time I was fuming. I'm like, why am I having to do this? I've proven I can drive. I'm
not here. You got to prove it here. You know, it doesn't matter if you win a championship in the NCAAs. You got to win one in the NBA and establish yourself. Everybody knows, Skeets, that you can drive when it says kilometers per hour on the signs. But can you when it says miles per hour? We need to see that.
Well, that's the most ironic part of this whole thing. So this is not the NBA of driving here down here in the country. Let's say that.
That's a great point.
Far from it. I don't even know what league this would be considered. But yeah, anyway. Okay, I'm just happy to know that you all had to do it. Besides, again, Trey, because he's American.
So when I had my Australian license to Canada, it was just an exchange.
Exactly.
But I couldn't keep my Australian one. They kept that and gave me the Canadian, so I didn't have two active licenses. Which is fine. I'm like, all right, fine, who cares? It was just like, okay, you can go and drive whenever you want. But I also seem to recall, for me, when I had to take my driver's test, they wouldn't let me use a rental car. I had to have my own car, but I wasn't supposed to drive that car that I owned until I passed my test. So I drove down, because I had the car at home, but I didn't have my US license. But I was like, well, one of these things has to give here. So I just drove the car that I wasn't supposed to be driving on the road to take the test because they wouldn't let me take it in a rental. It was like, so the cops can pull you over one way or the other, basically.
Right.
Oh, well, I guess the cops don't pull you over for a rental, but it was like I couldn't take the test if I didn't have my own car. So that was the thing that just drove me crazy as well. I'm like, these rules contradict each other. You have to be able to, if you can pass a test, what difference does it make whether the car's a rental or not?
Well, you know? Trey, let me ask you, when you went up to Canada, when you moved from Illinois to Ontario, did you have to take another driver's test?
I don't think I did take a driving test.
Oh, that's interesting. You went from miles to kilometers and you figured it out just like
that? I don't think I had a driver's license in Canada.
Oh,
I didn't have a car. But I was a rebel. I was driving out there. I don't know. All I remember from my Canada documentation was, like, I walked in, got a number, and they let me leave with cards on the very same day. Like a health card and a, what do they call it, an SIN card. I was like, what? Yep. You're giving me these on the same day that I'm asking for them? Shouldn't I have to wait 6 to 8 weeks to get any sort of, you know, some sort of documentation? That's how it is in the United States. You got to wait forever. There, they're just like, hey, take some cards. So maybe I did get a driver's license. They just threw it in.
I think I did my driver's license in a rental too, Lee.
Oh, you did it? I definitely did.
Yeah. It was a rental car for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just wanted to say this line. I did it in a rental, Lincoln, Canton, Nento. I didn't. I brought my car from Canada down here, so they shipped it down here. But you did it in a rental, eh, JD?
Yes, of course. Our car hadn't arrived yet. It took like 4 weeks to get my car. And didn't it take 6 months to get your car, Tass? It
took forever.
Yeah, it was long.
you can get a live animal across the border in no time, but a car takes 6 months.
See, this is it.
It's a good point.
I'm with Sam here. This, like, to me makes more sense. You should only have to retake a driver's test or a driving test is when you're switching from right-hand drive to left. Like, that makes a little more sense. You got to get comfortable with that. There's some different rules, you know. But, yeah, that's the funny part is, like, we're coming from Canada to America, and we somehow have to take this again.
And that's when I went back to Australia 2 years ago, you know, that's where I learned to drive. And I thought, having driven on the right, obviously, in Canada and America, I was like, I'll be fine going back to where I started to drive. But there were a couple of times I was, I found myself down the wrong, going down the wrong side of the road. I was like, ooh. But then it doesn't take long to switch back. But I was surprised that I made a couple of mistakes there at the start. And fortunately, no harm done. But a quick bit of a wake-up call, that's for sure.
Who else has an answer for this? I know everybody watching and listening to this podcast would say the last 20 minutes of us talking about driving. But 2 hours you wish you had back. Lee, we'll go to you next. What do you got?
Well, I will go as fresh as last night because we caught the train down to Billund, where Legoland is, and then the train back. And I had to... Really, everything is very advanced in this country, except when it comes to tickets for trains, you have to print them out, even though we had like a QR reader on the phone for the tickets. So I was at the hotel and I was like, can you, I went to the front office, a front desk, and I said, can you print these out? And this lady's name, I just couldn't get her email address right? So, and she said, just go around, there's a little business center around the corner, you can print out there. You just have to log in. Now, I tried to log in to my own Gmail address and I cannot remember my password because I never log out of it. And I got to the point, I tried twice and it failed. And I thought, I don't know what happens after three. But I was like, I don't want to lose access. So then
Beautiful shooter of the basketball. Yeah. No, shooter, beautiful basketball. No.
So I logged out and shut down. I went and grabbed my wife and said, would you mind just logging in? I'll forward you the tickets and you print them, you download them and print them, right?
Oh my God, your poor wife. Jesus Christ.
There was only two computers, right? So by the time she came back, there were these kids playing, you know, Minecraft or something on the computer. And, you know, they were kids and they're having a great time. And I came back and I was trying to not be that, you know, guy. But I was also trying to be like, oh, come on, I got to get these tickets for some reason printed out. Anyway, they were playing for, you know, 45 minutes.
Right.
And my wife was like, well, I'll come back later on. So, all right, no worries. Anyway, eventually we got there and eventually got them printed out. And this morning on the train, showed the guy the ticket.
He didn't get them.
You can just use it off the phone. It says on there, though, please print these tickets and have them with you. So I was like, all right, what the hell's going on here? Come on, can't we sort this stuff out by now? So that was more than 2 hours. It was probably about 4 hours. But it was weird. When you see so many other things so well operated here, when it comes to train tickets, I thought, seems to be a little bit behind on that part.
But it turned out they're not behind. No. They just they haven't updated the small print or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's weird that it still says that. So anyway, we got there in the end.
We hear you, Enzo. He says, I keep forgetting the question. Yeah, that happens a lot here on Beach Steppin'. What do you have, Trey, for wasting 2 hours? Wish you had him back.
Heading into college, senior year of high school, I ended up rooming with another kid who went to the same school as me. We ended up rooming together for freshman year. So we went to our college admissions, interview together, and we drove 2 hours out of the way, the complete wrong way when we were driving there, which is a perfect first impression to make when you're going to try to get accepted to a school. Hey, you can either go west or east.
Oh,
we went west. We ended up in a town called Cherry, Illinois.
So
just named after the berry. Are you kidding me? We finally get there, but guess what? Knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
Got admitted into Benedictine University, got the scholarship, and lost it after a year. Great times. Hey, bud, it's fun in college, Raging with your boys, studying? That sucks.
Who was driving?
That one's on Nate. But I guess that means I was the navigator.
Yeah.
More like a navigator, because I am bad at figuring out which way to go, and that one really, really sticks out to me.
Oh, no. You gotta excuse my friend. The town's back that way.
It was bad. Cherry, Illinois. We drove through Ladd, Illinois, and, if you're heading west on 88, if you're ever out in Illinois in the suburbs, you ain't gonna see any buildings. That should have been a dead giveaway to us, huh? All we're seeing out here is landfills and cornfields. Maybe right. If we go the other way, we'll find a school.
Yeah, that's amazing you just kept going that long. That's the fascinating part to me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Why? I knew that the place we were going was less than an hour away.
Right.
So why did we drive more than an hour in the wrong direction? I don't know.
Amazing. Tass, you got an answer for this one?
No, we can move on. I can't compete with paperwork and driver's license and all that.
You really
can't.
Let's
move on.
Okay. Hi, guys. A few years back, I visited the Lego House. Oh, boy. Here we go again. Which is a Lego Museum Expo. It's awesome. Recommend Lee to go visit. They had recreated the alley-oop from Kobe to Shaq, all in Lego. Okay. Perhaps Lee can tell you if it's still there. Lee, do you know what he's talking about here? Mike in South Africa?
We went to Lego House yesterday, which is like the whole history of Lego and stuff like that.
Okay.
I didn't see that. I saw something else, basketball.
Maybe they took it down.
I didn't see it.
Anyway, if you had to create your own scene of an NBA game, what scene would you recreate with Legos? That's a fun one. Turn up. Again, that's from Mike in South Africa. Thanks, Mike. What do you got, Tass?
Well, for me, I think a great scene would be Kawhi's shot in the squat. Making it happen against the Sixers. It's a beauty just because he's got that, that semicircle of guys around him. There it is right there. It's so good. You'd get a little squatty Lego to be Kawhi sitting down there with everybody around him. The great facial reactions around him. And going back and watching this, it's so, so good. I think I would have the ball above the rim. It wouldn't be going through the hoop. I think it would be on a little bit of a stick or some sort of invisible thingamajig. Then we could have Marc Gasol hugging Joel Embiid or Joel Embiid going to the tunnel, a few minutes later crying. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. That scene, so good. It would be a whiteout. All the fans were wearing white that night, like the Toronto Angels that they are. And it would be a great, great scene.
That was my exact answer as well, hence me pulling up that photo very quickly there for Tass. Yeah, it's the squat. It's the Kawhi squat. It's a great one to see, a man that stumbles upon Legoland, like let's say this guy, for example, could then, get in the photo and take a photo beside Kawhi there and Joel Embiid and everybody else over on the Raptors bench. So that's my answer too. What do you got, Trey?
I too would like a very, I guess like a busy scene, you know, with lots of people there, a lot of detail in the background, just like Tass's Kawhi shot. But for me, I'm going Ray Allen, corner three-pointer, game six, 2013 finals against the Spurs. The main reason I want this is to get a Jimmy Goldstein minifig. Can you imagine how cool that would look, like a tiny little Jimmy Goldstein? Because if I'm not mistaken, he's like right behind Ray Allen sitting on the sideline. In some of those shots. So, you know, you've got all the greats out on the court, LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Duncan, Kawhi, all the Spurs guys, Ray Allen hitting the three from the corner. And you've also got a crazy looking Jimmy Goldstein sitting over there with his hat on. He's probably got the fanciest wares you can have as a Lego minifig. I think it'd be great.
Lee, what's your answer for this? What do you want to recreate?
Some iconic moments. I think maybe the Pippen on Ewing dunk, because then you could also create the faces on the Lego players who are watching. Like, you know, I think Derek Harper's on the ground sort of like looking up like that. And, you know, any of those big moments. LeBron dunking on Jason Terry would be good if you had Terry just like lying on the ground and LeBron like, you know, sky high there. The block on Iguodala would be a good one as well, with that crowd, everyone packed in like that. So all of those sort of big, memorable, iconic moments, I think they'd look cool. And I think you'd probably be able to pick them out as well straight away. They wouldn't need necessarily the little plate to say what it is. You could just say, oh, yeah, that's this move or that possession or that play. Something like that.
There was a photo you shared, I think, on your Instagram account, Lee, of you standing beside... Was it just a generic Lego basketball player? Yeah. Is that right? Yeah? It wasn't supposed to be anybody?
Well, I said it was Wilt, you know.
Because he was
like,
wearing 13? Is that what it was?
No, he was wearing number 10, actually. I just sort of... it was in the lobby, and I was like, oh, my God. I come all the way to Bill, and the first thing I see is an NBA-related Lego. I thought, I got to take a photo of this. You know, I was going to post up. I was going to do all that sort of stuff. But just took a photo staring at him. And I just said it was Wilt. It was like, yeah, I don't know. It probably is more just a generic, but it sort of looked like Wilt with the hair and the facial hair there.
Okay. But you weren't lying down on it, were you?
Now he loves having these photos loaded up in the stream team.
I never said I didn't like the photos being there loaded. I don't like waiting 5 fucking minutes for Lee Ellis to try and find one. That's a big difference. Big difference. I love the photos. We're live on YouTube here. All right. What's our next one here, Tess?
Hey, guys. I'm a 24-year-old Detroit Pistons fan from South Dakota. My first basketball memory was the Tayshaun Prince chase down block on Reggie Miller in the 04 Eastern Conference Finals. I also vividly remember being 10 and LeBron destroying us in the 07 playoffs. Basically, ever since then, it's been rough to be a Pistons fan, but I'm glad that they have finally bottomed out instead of failing to make the playoffs and getting the 8th pick in the draft. There's been a lot of talk about the Pistons trading the pick, but I think it's all rumors. Just take Cade. My question, was there a time when you joined a hype train at its peak and have been stuck rooting for it ever since? Sincerely, longtime listener, Josh, Trey, when do you root for the front runner?
Well, first of all, Josh, you don't have to say being a fan of a team that had a good period and then has really struggled. You don't have to say it like it's a bad thing. It's called loyalty. Think about the Chicago Bulls. For me, they were the best team ever. And that was the case from age 7 to 14. Since then, they've had 5 playoff series wins. They've barely approached 500 this season, and I was saying they're back. Look at how insane Suns fans are going right now that their team is finally good. Someday the Pistons are going to be back, and you're going to be happy you stuck it out. Maybe we'll put you on YouTube. You know, I don't know. Bring some money to a game when Cade Cunningham's going off in the finals, or say the Pistons are going to win somebody in 4 after you knock them out. That's called loyalty, and I love it. But also, if you're talking about a hype train I joined at its peak and have been rooting for ever since, I'm still a fan of the trucker hat. I don't know why. Like, early 2000s, trucker hats were really everywhere. You know, you had a mesh back, and I actually think it's funny that Josh says you joined it at its peak, because that's what I really liked about the trucker hat, was like the shape of the front, and it kind of like came almost to like a Pope hat sort of look. You got the mesh in the back. This was when Ashton Kutcher was on top of the world. Every once in a while, there's rumblings that the trucker hat is coming back. I'm like, yeah, all right, here we go. We're going to get some breathable mesh on the back of our heads. We're going to be keeping cool out there. But it's usually just people wearing, like, the Von Dutch version. They're like, okay, this is going to be kitschy this summer. We're wearing Von Dutch trucker hats. I want trucker hats bought from a truck stop to come back. If that's the case, I'll be ready. I got a stockpile of them waiting somewhere at my mom's house.
Of course you do.
Yeah, man. I mean, trucker hats bought at a truck stop, you can acquire those for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap.
Yeah. Nice one. That's a nice one because I think they're coming back. I say that because I got one for the first time in my life recently. It was a freebie. But I think there's some promise there. And it's not just going to be, you know, Von Dutch throwback day. But, yeah, there's lots of people got a Von Dutch deep in the closet. But how many you got? How many you got stacked?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know about boxes at home. I've been going through a ton of boxes here. Here's the only one I've got right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a peak. This one's pretty big right here. This is talk about saying? Putting a hat on a hat.
Holy.
Pass the hat. This is from the Giving Kitchen down here in Atlanta.
Cool.
And as you can see,
so that's a
clearly got
hat.
The mesh
oh, yeah.
in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that looks cool on you.
I don't know, man. I'm showing a lot of forehead here.
Well, that's why I could never wear
like
a
an
hat
entire,
like that. It's too tall.
An entire archway. This looks like St. Louis over here. I don't know about this, but I'm going to wear it for the rest like of the show. Maybe they'll bring it back.
Looks like you have a crazy sunburn on your forehead.
I don't know what's going on. I put this on and instantly got a sunburn. I'm going no brows because it's a deep, deep cap, so... If this doesn't bring back trucker hats, nothing will.
Okay. Awesome. What do you got for this one, Lily?
I guess when I moved to Toronto in 2001, the Leafs just made the playoffs and they had to face the Ottawa Senators in the first round. The Senators had home ice advantage and the Leafies swept them. And yeah. I got caught up in it big time because that was the first time. I was like, maybe the Leafs are going all the way this year. They had the New Jersey Devils in the next round. They actually led that series 3-2. Had game six back at the ACC. Alexander McGildy, he knocked out somebody. No, it wasn't Alexander McGildy. It was, anyway, the point is, you know.
Scott Stevens?
Scott Stevens was involved, yeah. He knocked out somebody, did he? Or did he get knocked out? I can't remember. But anyway.
You're asking the wrong bunch, man.
I mean, he could have knocked out Eric Lindros.
I don't think
I don't not.
Think
anyway,
Lindros
Scott
was
Stevens
on the Leafs.
People up.
Anyway, yeah, Matt Sundin was the big star then for the Leafs. And so, you know, when you go to a new country, like, you know, cricket, Aussie rules football, even basketball to an extent. I mean, obviously that was when Vince really put the Raptors on the map. But it was like completely new sport for me. This city doesn't really care about anything outside of the Leafs. And it was awesome. It was awesome getting into it, going to the bar, throwing down some wings, having some beers with the boys, cheering on the Leafs.
Pull it up.
Here
it
comes. Just somebody post Cam now. Just do it. He's talking about crushing wings. We got to see this, man.
But that's, the thing is, like, for me, it was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. You know, the biggest team in hockey, you know, didn't do it this year, but surely the next couple of years are going to win the Stanley Cup and people are going to go crazy. Obviously, it still hasn't happened, but Canada did go on to win the gold medal at Salt Lake City at the Winter Olympics that winter. And they hadn't won that for a while. So that was a pretty big celebration, I remember. So that was a hockey head there for a while. You know, it was great. I loved it. But, you sort of obviously you lose touch with it when you're not surrounded by it. And Atlanta used to have a team, but not anymore. So I still keep my eye on the Leafs. But it's funny seeing all those jokes that I heard in 2001 that, yeah, they're never going to do it. They're always going to choke. And 20 years later, sort of the same thing. You know, they put themselves in a position to win but can't close it out.
I guess I sort of have a similar answer to you. It's, sports related. I lived in Toronto for a long time, you know, grew up 2 hours outside of Toronto. So naturally cheered for the Raptors. I'm a Blue Jays fan. You know, I don't care that much about hockey, but I guess by default, I'm sort of a Leafs fan. But one team I never sort of like connected to for whatever reason, even though I went to a couple of games and had fun, was the Toronto FC, the MLS team. When we were there. Now, I remember when we lived there, they were garbage. Like, they were horrible. So maybe that was a part of the reason why. But we moved down here to Atlanta, and then in a few years after we got here, Atlanta United was an expansion team, I think in 2017. And, man, what a party that was and a scene that was. And I was like, No, I'm an Atlanta United fan. To the point where they were playing Toronto, and we would go to the games. I think there was a playoff game once.
Yeah, there was.
I wasn't even cheering for Toronto. And people were like, what? You're not cheering for Toronto? I was like, nah, I'm an Atlanta United fan. You know, I got their jersey, and I go to a lot of the games with friends down here. And they were good right from the jump. You know, they were a playoff team right away. And then they won the cup in their second year. And they've fallen off since. They just fired their coach like 2 days ago. Things aren't going as great for them. But, yeah, you know, I jumped on that train, and I'm sticking with it. And they're probably going to be bad now for a couple of years. But, man, that was a fun – I mean, still, they got great support down here. I think they're, like, maybe the most popular MLS franchise. They're one of them for sure, just in terms of, like – supporting groups and just the scene, a lot of people that show up to these games. So I'm Atlanta United ride or die, Tass. I don't know about you. You Toronto FC guy?
You don't care at all? Yeah, neither, probably. I mean, I just love the beautiful game. Sure. I will watch it anytime, anywhere. This Gabriel Hines news is really hitting me hard. I'm not sure what to do, but I'll be out there cheering on the United. It's a great scene. It's definitely a good time.
Oh, it's so much fun.
I mean, I was more of a Bobby Dodd Stadium fan than the Mercedes-Benz.
Sure. First 9 games. Yeah, man. That was beautiful. Nice skyline there. Georgia Tech, too. Yeah.
You could feel it. The Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's just, I mean, it's big. It's beautiful. But the acoustics, you know, it doesn't get super loud in there.
I've never heard someone talk more about acoustics at a sporting event than you. You love it.
We've been doing the show for a long time. You got it. The acoustics are important. It's not a rockin' building. It's not a rockin' building.
I mean, anyway. I've been to games there where they have 70,000 people. It's pretty intense.
That's a big number, but you'd think it'd be louder for 70,000 people. It's just not that loud. It's not. Anyway, for me, as far as joining a hype train at its peak, I've joined the Peloton cult. I'm in it. I'm deep in it, and I didn't know if I'd really like the live at home working out with a person, but I love it. Love my Jess Sims. I love my Adrian Williams. It's a good time, and it keeps you coming back. And I especially didn't know if I was going to be into it because I bought one of their treadmills, and their treadmills have both been recalled because they both had issues. One, the screen was falling off, and the other one had some major, major issues with the treadmill pulling things underneath it, including pets and humans. Right. No joke, with kids. They put in some safety features to avoid things like that. You have to put in a passcode, blah blah blah, that kind of thing. So we kept ours. Everybody can send theirs back, but we kept ours and just keeping our pets and kids away from it as much as possible. But it is scary. But anyways, the whole experience, it's a good one. The Peloton experience is a good one. No joke.
You have just the treadmill. You don't have the bike.
No, I don't. I don't have a bike. Yeah.
Okay.
But they've got the licensed music, huge.
Wow, I didn't know that.
To all
got
other
a playlist for everything.
Huh.
Right. Yeah, you can. You're listening to real current music as opposed to bah, 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 let's work out. You know, regular.
This guy loves the music. Loves acoustics.
Yeah, how's the acoustics in the Peloton studio? I've never listened in headphones, but I've got a Spice Girls yoga with Aditi coming up in not too long. I'm converted to Peloton too, Tassie. I love the inspiration, and I love all the different little sub-communities that all the trainers have, like Adrian Williams, you said. He's got the Thunder Squad because he brings the thunder.
Oh, wow.
Andy Spear, if you're a fan of his, you're a spearhead. It took me a while to understand what he was saying. But I'm in both now. Love it.
Yeah, there's a couple of trainers who are involved in basketball, too. They're in-arena hosts, Allie Love and Jess Sims, for the Nets and for the Liberty.
So are they live then when you're doing it? Like that person, that
can
trainer?
Every video that is recorded is initially done live.
Then
it's archived.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we could be, you know, yeah, that's definitely part of the appeal. We could be working out together. We could high-five each other virtually because we're scared of working out in person.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Are you into the gamification of it, trying to get those badges and streaks and all that kind of stuff? You know, get a shout-out from Adrian. Tess! 100 strength workouts. I see you, bro.
One day, man. One day. My 40th birthday is coming up. You know I'm going to be working out. We're just waiting for him to say, "Happy birthday, Tias Mulas." You got it, man. Yeah, Adrian, he's good. He's good. He is a machine. You know, the thing about Adrian Williams is, you know, people will like aspire to work out, look like him, because he's massive and he looks great. But he also does a billion other workouts besides the one he's doing on the Peloton. Because if he's lifting up a 20-pound dumbbell, he ain't looking like that. You know, he's doing some huge deadlifts, some huge workouts, but he's looking good. But a lot of them, you know, a lot of them, these aren't chiseled people, which is nice. They, you know, it's relatable.
They're fit.
Most of them.
Yeah. All right, let's take one more break, and then we'll get to a few more questions.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, a few more questions here on the Beach Steppin' Podcast. Hey, Dunkaroos, trademarked, writes this emailer. I'm a sicko, and I follow just about any basketball media I can find online. Once I'm done with my latest No Dunks classic, of course. One thing which always stands out to me across the spectrum is the constant comparison of individuals or teams to dogs. He defends like a dog. They got a bunch of dogs on that squad, etc. As a proud owner of a Boston Terrier and Dachshund, I can't say I see much Marcus Smart in them. Maybe JVG hanging on Alonzo's leg? My dogs aren't tough, though. They're cute and cuddly. This leads me to my question. If you had to compare a current player to an exotic animal, which player would it be? What animal do they remind you of and why? R.I.P. Dunkaroos. My lunchbox will never be the same. Burn up. Love Five Guys. Blossom. That's from D-Ball in Ottawa. I was really confused by the rest in peace Dunkaroos there for a second, but now it all makes sense. I do remember the snack. So exotic animals. Which player comparisons are we throwing out there, Trey?
PJ Tucker's a lot like a largemouth bass. They exist in both northern and southern climates, from Phoenix to Houston, Milwaukee, even up to Ontario. You can catch bass up there. They're usually pretty easy to locate. Bass are hanging out in the shade or near cover. PJ Tucker's open in the corner. Some days they're really hot. PJ knocking down threes or the bass biting your lures. When you get them on you, if PJ's playing defense, it's going to be a physical battle. If you get a bass on your line, you're getting a workout as well. And the final thing that sells it, they're both green. PJ Tucker, a largemouth bass.
Nice.
Somebody had to be a bass.
Yeah, I like that. Also, I know I completely butchered whatever I said. It's, what is it? Dachshund, right? That's the dog.
Dachshund.
That this guy. What?
Isn't?
I think you can say both.
Oh, can you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. After I said it out loud, I'm like, I thought it was, yeah, maybe it's dachshund. Doesn't matter. We know what the dog I'm talking about. Tess, exotic animals. Players.
Yes, we haven't had a good animal question in years, it feels like. It's been a while. I'm going with Kyle Anderson of the Memphis Grizzlies as an emu. The emu is the second largest living bird by height. You know, Kyle Anderson is large, but not super large. He's the second largest human. And this was the first sentence on the Wikipedia page for emu. So it worked out really well. The male emu does the incubation of the egg, and the nest for the egg is on the ground. It hangs out on the ground, just like Kyle Anderson. It's not jumping anywhere. He clears out the area. He makes sure he can see all around him. You know, it's a very flat area. And he makes the egg happen, just like Kyle Anderson makes the play happen. He starts the process. Well, the female emu starts the process, but Kyle Anderson finishes the job. He creates it. And during this process, he hardly eats or drinks and loses a significant amount of weight. I think Kyle Anderson has lost some weight. So there's your weird, weird comparison to an animal like we get every few years here.
I don't mind it. What do you have, Lee?
Mine's rough. You look at a hippo and you think, well, they can't be too agile because they're so big and heavy, but they're actually extremely agile and extremely fast as well. Even underwater, they can run fast. And, they're pretty tough, resilient animals. Brook Lopez doesn't look all that fast or agile out there, but Brook Lopez is actually quite agile for a big man. A couple of times you see him sort of put the ball on the floor, drive inside. He waves those arms around and gets up there and scores. He's versatile as well. He can shoot the three. He's just a big guy who actually moves pretty well. That's the best I came up with.
Don't be so hard on yourself. That's not bad, man. My quick answer is, for over a decade, we've debated whether Russell Westbrook is more of a dog or a cat. We've gone back and forth. It's changed over the years, which one you think he is more, to some of us at least. But maybe this whole time, I know he said he was a wolf, but maybe he's a porcupine. Think about it. A porcupine, an exotic animal. Some people have porcupines as pets, which is, that's ballsy. Yeah, I was reading about it. Apparently there's a thing you can do. You can sort of train them or stuff like that. Anyway.
What?
Yeah. Very prickly. And it's got like sort of dog and cat like qualities to it to me. So maybe he's a little bit of both. So Westbrook is a porcupine.
I can't believe you can train a porcupine. I don't know, man. I mean, a fair, you know, Westbrook is a prickly personality. But the people close to him are very close to him and obviously love him. He's a beloved teammate.
It's true.
So maybe that is why you can have a porcupine as a pet. I can't imagine enjoying that, though. I mean, you can train it to what? Cuddle next to you covered in spikes?
Strange. I don't know. Maybe call it and stuff like that. I didn't do a deep dive on porcupine
tricks.
Training. Yeah. But I guess they're probably smart animals. And
sure.
And using food, you can you can probably train most animals to do the things you want them to do with that. So,
yeah.
Porcupines.
You can train a dragon. You can train a porcupine.
I don't know if any of you guys follow Gator Boy Chris on Instagram, but he Gator Boy Chris.
No.
And he basically trains
gators.
Like you should see. Like they come up to his face like this. It's incredible. And there's another guy, Dean Schneider, who's in South Africa, who's like buddies with lions and stuff. Lions wrestle him and jump on him and stuff. Both incredible follows. Like you just every day they put up new stuff. You're just like, oh my god, how are these guys? At one point, you would think one of these animals would have just naturally, you know, their natural instinct would have taken over. They would have just destroyed these guys, but they don't. I mean, especially Gator Boy Chris, because I think lions and Dean Schneider talks about it. Like you get them from a young age, you know, and you grow and they grow up with you.
Yeah.
You know, and you feed them and all that sort of stuff. Then they do become very loyal to you. And he wrestles and plays with them. He's all a big part of that. But crocodiles, anyone in the crocodilian family, I'm a little bit wary of because they're just killers. Like Steve Irwin used to say, you know, like he would trust crocodiles more than executives in TV executives because he's like, crocodiles are going to try to eat you and kill you. They don't dress up in a suit and pretend they're not trying to do that to you.
They're not hiding their motive. Well, I don't want to make this dark or anything, but what you're saying here with these Schneider man, what'd you call him?
Dean Schneider, yeah.
Yeah, Schneider and then Gator Boy, Gator Chris, Gator Loki. it reminds me of Grizzly Man, Timothy Treadwell.
Yeah.
That guy thought he was like best friends with bears. Turns out he wasn't. Well, I'm saying.
Well, have they cracked the code yet on Grizzly Man? Do we know if it's real or fake, Skeets?
Oh, I think it's real.
I don't know. I remember some controversy when
you
it
think
was...
Grizzly Man is fake?
I don't know. Okay. How friendly was he with these with these bears? Yeah.
Do you think he had a friend who used to talk about my buddy Grizz?
I thought you were going to bring up the guy that was having sex with the octopus.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
Anyway, be careful with those animals out there, everybody. One more cue here, and then we'll wrap up this Beach Devin podcast.
Greetings, the Hamptons Five. I've been a longtime listener since the first year of the Starters, way back when I was in the seventh grade. Yesterday, I was playing five-on-five pickup at a court near my home, as I always do, when someone on the opposing team shot a corner three, and it happened to wedge in between the rim and the backboard. I immediately yelled, "We got a wedgie!"
Yeah.
Not thinking I'd get a response, of course, but four or five people waiting, who were waiting to play, all yelled, "Wedgie tracker! What?" And followed it up with, "We love no dunks." My question, when's the time you reference something out loud, not thinking anyone would know what you were saying, only to be surprised by others getting the reference? Keep up the amazing work. Let's go Raptors and Mavs. Linden in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. That is wild. They're referencing wedgie tracker. What?
Yeah, that part's a little, that's next level. Because I think we've crossed the threshold with the actual wedgie. I think it's weirder if somebody stuck the ball between the rim and the backboard at any run you were at in the world, and somebody didn't yell wedgie. I think that's weirder. But I'm with you, Tess, the wedgie tracker. And the Twitter handle, I believe, even in the email, at Wedgie Tracker. Okay, that now I'm not expecting everybody to be doing that yet. But am I wrong? I think Wedgie is, it's a part now of basketball lexicon for the most part. I don't think there's many, many places where if it were to happen, at least one person wouldn't reference Wedgie.
Yeah, it's possible. It's definitely in the lexicon for sure. I'm pretty sure the people are watching, waiting to play, didn't yell at Wedgie Tracker, twitter.com/ I mean, it's a weird one. It's weird to write down. At Gator Boy, do you yell at Gator Boy on Instagram? That was weird. The Wedgie Tracker, but maybe, if they are Canadian, maybe there's that part of it as well. Everybody knows everybody in Canada. Everybody knows the Basketball Jones / the Starter / No Duck. So we appreciate that. But I think it's definitely entered. Yeah, the Lex kind of, but everybody knows it. if it's reached NBA commentators, of course.
Like, I'm just saying, is there a run out there over the last, I don't know, let's say this last week, ball got stuck exactly like a wedgie, and everybody was looking around going, "Wow, what is that? What do you call that?"
Nope. If you call it anything, you're calling it a wedgie. Yeah. We have vanquished those who call it a neck ball. That was our biggest competition.
Yeah.
Wedgie versus neck ball. Sorry, neck ball. The next biggest competition will be commentators and people saying things like, "We never see this. We never see this kind of thing," because we do see it. We see it, 40 to 50 to 60 times a year, which breaks down to about 1.5 a team, I suppose. So it's probably going to happen in one of your games at some point, NBA teams. And at that point, you're going to call it a wedgie.
Yeah. And like people are pointing out here in the stream team, wedgie tracker is now even being mentioned by some of the commentators. So even that is starting to get out to the diehards and the casuals, I guess, watching the games. So this is fantastic.
The commentators, for sure, they definitely do their homework before their games. They do their prep. So part of it is wedgietracker.com. You got to know how many wedgies you have going into the game so you can call it out. This is wedgie number 47. And neck ball, sorry, it's gone.
I don't think it was ever here either.
I mean, listen, it was a competition between Ralph Lawler, the Clippers commentator, who used to say wedgie. That's where we got it from originally. And Jim Spanarkle, who used to do the Nets broadcast. But Jimmy was trumped by Ralphie. And then we rode it. We rode Ralphie to the promised land. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Ralph. Lawler's Law, it's now a wedgie.
Right.
Just to answer the question here, when you reference something out loud, not thinking anyone would notice, this has happened multiple times with our fans. We had a fan a long time ago yell out wedgie at a bar while watching a Raptors game. It was a DeMar DeRozan wedgie. Mm-hmm. And he yelled out, "Wedgie!" And somebody else at the bar said wedgie at the exact same time. Wow. And it was a man and a lady. And then they started dating. And then a year later, they told us that they got married. The man and the lady got married over a wedgie.
They had a baby, I think, too, was the last update we got from them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Man and the lady went on a datey, now they got a baby.
Did they have a boy? Do we know that? Name it Ralph? That'd be nice.
Not sure.
Cute little name, to be honest.
I wonder if they still listen to the show. Hopefully they do, and they can give us a little update as to, you know, how many kids they've got these days, you know.
It worked out better than the other people who got quote-unquote married on our show, because they got divorced about a year later. So this has worked out a lot.
It's not that uncommon, Tass. Like. It's like 50% of marriages.
We're about 50-50 here, yeah. We got a 50-50 rate.
Oh, we need a marriage divorce tracker then as well.
WeddingTracker.com.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Lee, do you have an answer for this? I mean, there was a question. When's the time you referenced something out loud, not thinking anyone would know what you were saying, and then you were surprised that others actually got the reference?
Well, I'll see if I can shoehorn this in from Legoland, see if anyone can recognize what I'm doing here. It's here.
What the... Okay, six.
Michael Jordan. Yeah. How many titles are we going to win here?
He did a boomerang. Look at this guy in his flippy floppies, though. Keeping the cash.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. I just did that yesterday because that was the only real...
So wait, hold on. Some person walked by you and was like, hey, Michael Jordan, six titles.
Actually, Roxana pointed it out to me. She said, do you want a photo? And I was like, oh, I took a photo the other day. Let me just think about it. I said, I'll just do this. I didn't even put it up. I might put it up now, but just like
boomerang.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't go with a shrug. You know, that's a more known reference, I would say, or widely.
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, but I think
or maybe
that...
build like a cigar out of Lego and a baseball bat out of Lego and do a little Last Dance gif for his boomerang.
That gif of him with the face. I mean, I think that one pops up before the shrug, though, doesn't it? I think. In Twitter,
I don't know.
When you're searching on Twitter gyps, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just sort of thought that's what popped in. You know,
okay. So. More of a deep cut. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Trey, do you have anything for this question?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Could not think of a good answer.
I couldn't either. I'm glad
all my references are well known. You know, I'm never surprised if you bring up Fast and Furious. 7,000 billion people have seen it. So it's if I tell people. You have me? They're gonna say you never had your car. They know right away. Sorry, bad answer. Sorry, guys. Sorry to let you down. Trying to end this thing on a downer here. Crushed it.
Okay,
did
good.
It. You did it.
Well, let's call it there. We got to get ready for Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. That's why we'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern with your Game 6 preview podcast. So, Lee, you're gonna be where at this point? You're gonna be in Germany.
No, we'll be in Copenhagen still for the finals. Yeah.
Okay. You're sticking around there.
Yeah. We go to Germany on Friday.
Why are you laughing?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It'll make sense maybe in a couple of days' time. We'll see. Anyway, we'll see.
Trying to find Dirk on the streets or something?
Nah. Just one of those things that you just sort of do and then you just go, oh, shit. But then you just go, oh, okay, who cares? Whatever, move on. Don't worry, it'll make sense.
What a mystery.
Now I'm guessing you didn't want to leave Copenhagen while the finals were going on, but it could end tomorrow night and you're going to be in Copenhagen for a couple more. Like, what's going on here?
No, so we when we were booking Germany... You know, EasyJets. Yeah, the cheapest flights are usually the ones that are at the unfriendliest times.
Okay.
So we booked one the other day. I said, oh yeah, well we can get that one at 8 a.m. But if Game 7 happens and we go live, we'll be recording when I'll be having to go to the airport. So I've had to, and these EasyJet ones, they're like non-refundable. So I'm like, all right, doesn't matter. I'm just going to have to write off that money and get a later flight that day.
Oh, I see. Yes, so what, you're hoping this ends in 6,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, yes, I am.
Lee's rolling with the Bucks tomorrow.
Honestly, I can't decide, Lee, if traveling with you would be my nightmare or I would have the most fun ever. I facilitate between the two.
Well, if you're one of the people who likes to book everything like before you even leave, then that's not for me. That's not for me. I like to leave things a little bit open because things change. You feel differently about a city when you're there as well. And sometimes you're like, oh, you know what? This city's much better. I like staying here.
Sure, sure.
You know, and other times you're like, let's go to that other place a little bit earlier. So, you know, and that does...
Yeah, you're just a little too willy-nilly with accommodations, flights, We'll figure it out.
I mean, like I, you know, now it's so easy to book everything just as you're on the go. So it's sort of like this works, bang, let's do it. You know,
except your train tickets.
Yeah, except the train tickets. But that was also like just you know, we also kept that open because it was like if these boys are going crazy, you know, we can stay down here. Maybe we stay an extra day or two. But you just gotta live a little bit on the edge, don't you? You know, okay. Just enough.
But they're all Legoed out at this point.
To be honest, probably not. No, I mean, probably not. I am. I mean, I turned on the TV the other night. Lego TV was on. I was like, all right. I need something. Let's put on something else on
TV. What's Lego TV?
It must be just their own in-house channel. I think I'd never heard of it before. But it's the first thing that pops up. And I'm like, oh, my God. All right. I put on... that movie Zorro with Antonio Banderas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've literally never heard a person say those words before.
It was
choosing between a Mountain Dew and crab juice.
It was the only other channel that I recognized what was actually on. I was like, all right, I'll put this one on, but it didn't last long. I was like, oh God, this is even worse than I remember. But anyway.
All right. Awesome. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll find out where the hell Lee Ellis is and what he's been watching tonight while he's over there in Copenhagen. So join us tomorrow. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Go get your merch over at nodunks.com. And if you don't have an Athletic subscription, highly recommend you go get one. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Lee is cheering for the Bucks. He hopes we don't hear from this man.
Game 7!
You can all but guarantee now this is going to win Game 6.
I know.
Lock it in, like, for sure. All right, brace the day, people.
You could stay, ooh, every day, and I'd be happy every minute.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.